a year.
You're listening to your good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to Just a Voice, the radio ministry of Global Restoration Ministry. Hi, I'm Pastor Philip Upton. Here at Global Restoration Ministry, our desire is to prepare the body of Christ for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by restoring foundational truths and earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Join us as we go into a word from the word. Come on, let's go.
Let's go ahead and get started. So we began a series a couple of weeks ago about choosing faith over fear. And it has to be a choice that you make because you're impacted with so much negative energy, so much negative information, and the enemy comes to get you into a place. And see, fear manifests in different ways. Fear manifests in anger. It manifests in you shying away, retreating. You know, fear manifests in lying. Why do people lie? Because they're afraid of the truth. Or they want to protect themselves. You know, so in the midst of these situations where the enemy challenges us, we have to choose faith over fear. Because see, fear is a spirit. It's a negative energy. You know, it's a demonic force. God said, I have not given you a spirit of fear. But I have given you a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind. And so all this is of the Spirit of God. But see, when the spirit of fear comes, the Bible said fear has torment. What is fear? It's the dread and apprehension of something that has not even happened yet. Maybe based on past experience, maybe based on what other people have said, maybe based on the fear of the unknown. And so therefore, because of uncertainty, you're apprehensive and fearful. And so because of that, it causes you to doubt. See, the Bible says you and I, we have a particular way that we have to live. And the Bible says since we've been freely justified by his grace, we can have peace with God. And it says something interesting about the just. It says that the just shall live by faith. And so faith is not just something that you just desire to do. The Bible said God has given unto every man the measure of faith. If you see your little bag of faith here, this is your measure of faith that God has given you. Now, whether that faith is faith in what God has said or faith in the world, is still your measure of faith. And that faith can be turned from faith to fear. It's faith is just fear working in reverse. You still have to put trust in that unbelief, that trust in that doubt, that trust in that apprehensiveness. Because you'd rather trust that than step out on faith. It's safer to stay back. I'd rather lie than to tell the truth because the truth might get me in trouble. But that lie going to get you in trouble too. Matter of fact, the Bible said one of the people that are not going to enter into the kingdom of God is all liars shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So although lying may be a natural knee-jerk reaction, what they call the spirit of self-preservation, this is why Paul said you have to die to yourself daily. You have to put that down. And you got to live for Christ on purpose, with purpose, understanding whose you are and who you are. See, Jesus said, I am the way, the what? The truth and the life. And so the lie ain't the way. It ain't no truth and it definitely ain't no life. So you got to stay away from the negative and you got to choose faith over fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. So if God has given you power, he's given you love, and he's given you a sound mind, you got to understand that the Bible said when you get filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, he said you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. He said power, he's given you love. What does it say about the very quality and nature of God? It says that God is love. And so when he's giving you that, he's giving you essence of himself and of a sound mind. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. But it says something about the mind of Christ. What it says, you have to let this mind be in you. So it's a choice about choosing faith over fear, especially in crisis situations, because the enemy comes in to get you to defect from the faith. Matter of fact, let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting at verse 1. 1 Timothy 4, 1 says that the Spirit speaks expressly, saying that in the last days, what? Many shall depart from the faith, doing what? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of what? Demons. So, the devil is a liar. He is the father of lies. And so, when you adhere to a lie, that is the doctrine of demons or a doctrine of the devil. See, I was thinking on this early. I heard somebody say this once before. There was two children, Cain and there was Abel. C-A-I-N, or C-A-N-I, how you spell Cain. But inside of Cain's question, name is really a question. Can I? It's really a question in there. But they say that God is what? Abel. Now, let's look at this analogy. The Bible said that Abel's sacrifice was accepted when he brung his firstling because it was a lamb without blemish and is acceptable unto God. So God is Abel because he became the sacrificial lamb that was acceptable unto God. But Cain will continue to ask questions. Cain did what? Cain killed his brother Abel. What did Satan do? He wanted to crucify Christ. The same analogy. He tried to kill the sacrificial lamb. But the lamb that was offered, the Bible said that the blood of righteous Abel cries out from the ground. So the blood of Jesus is still speaking and crying out unto us for salvation. The devil will never be renowned. The devil will never be righteous. But seriously, I was contemplating that this morning when I look at Cain and Abel and I'm looking at Christ as being the sacrificial lamb that's acceptable before God. Abel's offering, which was a lamb, the first, which he offered unto God, which was an acceptable one to God. And so when we see the lineage, it doesn't even begin with Abel or Cain. It goes all the way down to begin with Seth when it comes down to man's lineage. So even in the beginning, we see the righteous struggle between good and evil. The Bible said Cain was of that wicked one, the devil. But righteous Abel, his blood cries out. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission or forgiveness of sin. And so it was just something I was playing with this morning. God put it in my spirit. You know, something else I was talking about. But when he talked about faith, he said a lot about faith too. So when we're choosing faith over fear, there's something that we have to understand. The Bible says that faith is a material thing. Faith is what? Substance. So what is substance? Substance is material. It's something that can be used. You need something to build with. Faith is a substance that you use to build with. But faith is programmable. Just like they have programmable matter. We talked about that last week. They're using nanotech. So they can program nanites to do things in the human body now. They can program nanites to take shape and build some nanites and little robots, tiny minuscule robots that they use. But let's look at faith as being substance of the thing that you hope for. Hope is the program. Because see, it's going to take faith, the same amount, that little bag of faith that God gave you, it's going to take that to make everything happen. No matter what, it's going to take faith. Faith is the building blocks. But what faith turns into is based on what you program it to be, what you hope for. Faith is the substance of the things that are hoped for. So, and that hope develops where? First, on the inside of you. You got to see in the world, they say what? Seeing is believing. But for the believer, believing is seeing. Because you have to first see it on the inside. It comes from that inner image. Everything in this room began in somebody's what? Imagination. Everything. Somebody designed this building. Somebody created this chair. Somebody saw it on the inside before they ever put the plan together to manufacture it on the outside. And that's how God operates. God gave us the very essence of his creative ability. God is total thought and imagination. Everything about God that when he wants to bring from the abstract, he speaks it. And so it comes, everything is already in God. God don't come up with any new ideas. You know, he don't say, oh yeah. No, he's the totality of everything. And everything God wants to make, he'll say, let there be. And when he said, let there be light, in that word light is everything that's necessary to make light. When he said, let there be a tree, When he created the trees to bring forth fruit, he designed that word to have everything necessary for it to produce the fruit that he desired for it to produce. Whether it be an apple tree, whether it be a lemon tree, whether it be an orange tree, whatever, the DNA in that tree is spoken in the word that he puts out. So the thing that you and I want has to have the ingredients to make it happen. In other words, you got to be able to program what you want. You got to know what you want. You got to be able to see it. But what cancels out the thing that we want to see from manifesting? Fear, apprehension, unsurety, don't know if it's really going to take place or not, like God said, you know. We know the word of God is true. How many believe the word of God is true? Everybody in this room can say the word of God is true, right? But how many believe that the word of God will work when you speak it? Although the word is true and what you're saying is true, but do you really believe it, that when you say it, it will manifest? Or do you see it to wait to see what's going to happen? That ain't faith. That's doubt. Because if you don't believe that it's already done by the time you speak it, it will never manifest. Remember the story of blind Bartimaeus who sat on the side of the road begging? He had on a coat that described his blindness. And he heard that Jesus was passing. He didn't see him. He heard that Jesus was passing by. And he began to cry out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And what did the crowd do? "Man, shut up." See, when you want something from God, there's always going to be opposition. They're trying to tell you, be quiet. Let me, shh. Don't think that you can be this great judge or this great attorney or president or whatever. No, no, just go do hair. Just be a great hairstylist, that's all. Don't try to nothing great, you know. And the devil always try to lowball you. And this guy, they got a saying out there that said that if you will settle for less than you deserve, you will always get less than what you settled for. So the devil will even take away your lowest, your bottom number. He'll take that down. See, a little compromise means you're really to compromise a lot. Anything. And I won't tell you about that other story, but y'all know what I'm saying. You just can have a high price tag, but you still compromise. So over to Mark, let's digress for a minute. Let's go over to Mark chapter 11 and look at the story of the fig tree. Because I keep going back to this because he says something so profound here that a lot of times we miss it. Mark chapter 11, when Jesus was on his way into Jerusalem, he stopped on the way because he saw a fig tree and he was hungry. And he thought that, well, maybe he might find something to eat. And it's over in chapter 11, starting in verse 12. He says, "On the morrow when they was come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came happily that he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing there but leaves." Then it has in the quotation said, "For the time of the figs were not yet." Now, here's the thing about the fig tree. The fig and the leaves appear at the same time. So when Jesus saw the fig tree afar off, it's supposed to have figs. But when he came there, it didn't have any figs. The tree was talking to him. The tree was saying something to him. You don't believe me? He said, and verse 14, "And he answered and said unto it." What did he answer? How you going to answer something unless something's speaking to you? So he answered and said unto him, "Okay, you ain't going to give me none. No man eat fruit of thee henceforth forever." And the disciples heard it. That's the important thing, that the disciples heard what he said. Now, they didn't camp out there and let's see what's going to happen. No, they kept on going what they were doing. And he said, and they came into Jerusalem and Jesus went into the temple and he began to cast them out that sold and bought in the temple, and he overthrew the tables and money changers and the seat of them that sat and sold doves. So he threw them folks out. All right. Let's go on down to verse 20. Now he'd been into the temple. Now they only way back from Jerusalem, back toward Bethany where they came from. And in the morning when they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the root. And Peter, recalling to remember, said unto him, "Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away." And Jesus answering said unto them, "Have faith in God. another rendition that would be having the God kind of faith. Have the God kind of faith. See, God calls those things that be not as though they were. He speaks things into existence. So have the God kind of faith. When you have faith in God, behave the way God would behave. Now, what do you mean? How you figure out saying that's what that says? Look at verse 23. He said, truly, verily, I say unto you that whosoever, somebody say whosoever, shall say unto this mountain. Wait a minute, you talking to stuff. You're speaking to the mountain. Remember I talked about how powerful your words are? That everything that God wanted to see, he said. He created it. It was already within him. But when he wanted to bring it from the unseen to the seen, he spoke it. And he said unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. And what's the next phrase? And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. See, you got to get rid of all doubt, worry, fear, and unbelief. And you got to believe. You got to be sold out. And when I say this belief, this ain't this belief that sits up here, but down here you still got unbelief. Yeah, I know, but. No, see, that but telling me that you got some unbelief down in there. Get your butt out the way and just start believing God. It says, and believe that those things, which who said? That he said. The one who's speaking to the mountain. If you believe those things that Teresa says, if Teresa believed the things that she says, or Bree believed the things that she said, or Floyd believed the things that he says, see, we can quote scripture, but do you believe the things that you say shall come to pass? He said, if you believe the things that he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, that's us, whatsoever things you need. Well, you know God will meet all your needs. He will, but he'll give you your desire too. He said, therefore, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. See, you believe already that you receive it before you see it. See, for a believer, believing is seeing. Not seeing is believing. See, the disciples didn't believe until they saw the fig tree withered up. Ooh, look, Lord, it's withered up from the root. She said, why y'all shocked about that? I told you that yesterday. You heard me curse the tree yesterday. That's what it took place. Then it says, when you stand praying, don't have no stuff in your heart that's going to mess you up. Don't have any unforgiveness. He said, when you stand praying, forgive. If you have ought against any, that your Father, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. And if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So clean your heart. Get rid of all fear, doubt, unbelief, unforgiveness. Believe when you speak those things that you are speaking deliberately with the intention of creating the thing that you will see. Not just casual speech. You know, we can have casual speech. But there's time when you have to use the language of the king. And the word of the king is law. That's when you speak deliberately from a place of a position. See, Jesus was having conversation all along the way with the disciples. But when he got to that fig tree and it challenged him and he had to answer the fig tree, he said, no man eat fruit from you henceforth forever. That was the word of the king. It was established. He deliberately spoke to that thing of what not's going to happen. What it's going to do. Nobody's going to eat fruit for you no more. You ain't bearing no fruit. You ain't giving none. You ain't getting none. You ain't nothing coming up from you ever. It dried up from the root. See, there's a lot of things that we never get to the root of. We still got unresolved issues that keep us from producing the fruit that we want. We got to get to the root of that thing a lot of times. This is why he dealt with unforgiveness. There's some things that can hinder you from seeing what you're saying if you don't deal with the root of things that's going on in your life. If you don't get rid of, dig up that junk and get that stuff out of there, you won't be able to get the righteous root to produce the fruit that you want. So that thing could corrupt your fruit if you got unforgiveness still dealing with you down there by the root. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. You got to understand one thing, that God loves you. We just read that God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but he gave you power. He gave you love. He gave you a sound mind. mind is all shocked, not all shocked and shaken and worried and confused. No, a sound mind. He says, there is no fear in love. Remember, we're choosing faith over fear. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love. What is perfect love? Perfect love. God is love. Having the love of God in your heart. Perfect love will cast out all fear. Why? Because fear has torment. Then it says something interesting. If you're still fearing, you have not been made perfect in love. If you still got all this fear going on, you need to work on getting that fear out. Because it says, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. So it's the rational mind against the mind of faith. The rational mind is apprehensive. It worries. It calculates. It sees the odds. Faith, on the other hand, we walk by faith and not by sight. See, faith is nonsense. It doesn't come to your sensory mechanisms. It's not based on what you see or what you know. It's not based on what you can smell, feel, or taste. It's not based on your senses. It's based on what God has said. What sense does it make when God go out and make some mud and put it in the man's eyes and say, go wash, and all of a sudden now he can see? That don't make sense. What kind of sense is that? A woman touching your garment, all of a sudden now she's healed. Well, that don't make sense. It's by faith. Galatians 5:5, for we through the Spirit do wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Righteousness comes by faith. What is righteousness? Remember the Bible said that Abraham believed God? And because he believed God, it was accounted unto him or laid to his charge for righteousness. What did Abraham believe? He believed every promise that God had made to him. How many promises did Abraham make to God? Zero. So he was righteous, not based on what he said to God, but what God said to him and him believing it. If you're believing what God has said about you, that word righteousness, access, gives you access to the things what God has said. It means you have a right to the things that God has said. He had a right to every promise that God made because he believed God. If he hadn't believed God, the door would have been shut. Access denied. But because he believed God, it was accounted or accredited unto him for righteousness. He was going to be the father of many nations. He was going to have seed like the stars of heaven and like the sand on the seashore. But yet he was old. He was already 80. And by the time the promise came, he was 100. And the Bible said when he got that age, that the Bible said that he staggered not at the promise to unbelief, but was strong in faith, believing that what God has promised, he was also able to perform. He says, he considered not the deadness of his own body, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise through unbelief. So staggering faith is something that you believe today, you don't believe tomorrow, you might be sure, but now situations in a row is different, it's contrary, so you're not sure, you're staggering in faith. Go over to James chapter 1 and look at the old drunk faith and see what God says about drunk staggering faith, faith that wavers, faith that is not settled. See, the Bible said we have power, love, and a what kind of mind? A sound mind. That's a mind that is mine. My mind's made up, no turning back. You know, I got a sound mind. I don't have a mind that's vacillating between two opinions just because the wind direction might change. And the wind direction can change in your life in a heartbeat. But you got to stay resolute in your faith. And when it comes down to your faith toward God, James chapter 1, and it talks about, my brethren, count it all joy, verse 2. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your what? Your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. But verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Unstable. Staggering to and fro. Abraham staggered not at the promise through unbelief. He considered not the circumstances. He didn't care how dead his body was or how old his wife was. Them being 100 years old, he held on to the promise of God. And from that, Isaac was born. Because he refused to give up, cave in, or quit. But he held on to the promises of God. You got to choose faith over fear. Fear shows up in a lot of negative ways to get you to doubt the promises of God. Galatians 5 and 6. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Everything that God has given you is based on his love for you. The faith that God has given you operates by love. It doesn't operate through fear, reverse psychology. You can't convince God to do something. Oh, God, please. God does not respond to your needs. He does not respond to your wants. He does not respond to your crisis situations. The only thing God responds to is faith. That's the only thing that God responds to is your faith. If you've made the word of God your final authority, that can definitely be something for you to hold on to. It gives you a firm foundation to look beyond your present circumstance and to trust more in a hopeful and more positive outcome. If you make the word of God your final authority, if this is where you gauge everything from. Now, other information is going to come, but you can always gauge that information based on the word of God. You know, I do air sampling for a living. I do air sampling. I got my mold inspection company. So the first test that I take is outside, and it's called a baseline sample. It tells me what the normal ambient atmosphere is like. And then when I go inside, I take the measurements on the inside. Now I got something to grade it from because this is what the normal condition is out here. I can tell now if you're elevated based on what I've taken on out here. But if I don't have anything for a baseline, if the word of God is not my baseline, if that's not my foundation that I have to judge everything on, whether it be truth, whether it be fact, or whether it be a lie, then I won't know the difference between the truth and a lie because facts are changeable. Facts change based on more information. Facts change over time. You had a new car 10 years ago. Facts change over time. I used to have some hair in the afro. Facts change over time. But truth never changes. Truth is constant. And see, James talks about also over in James, it talks about how people lie against what God has said. They lie against the truth.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton of Global Restoration Ministry. I want to invite you out to service. We have service over at the Port St. Lucie Community Center every Sunday. That's at 2195 Southeast Oroso Boulevard. Service time is at 10:30 to 12 o'clock. Come on and be a part of our service. If you need to reach me, you can call me at 772-267-1657. Hope to see you there.
Hi, Alexander Alfano inviting you to listen to the Religious Liberty Report, our weekly news brief on Religious Liberty News on WCNO 89.9 FM at 1 p.m. on Saturday afternoons. Hope to see you there.
He who scattered Israel will gather them again from the north, from the south, from the east and the west. Heart to heart and hand in hand
on the road to Jerusalem.
Sing shalom,
sing shalom in the promised land. We will pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the city of our God.
He himself is our shalom.
Now Jew and Gentile are as one. He is the vine, we are the branches. We're grafted into the sun.